guys, welcome. Thank you for tuning in. Brandon Dawson here from the Tribe of Christians. Today's date is Thursday, March 14, 2024. I am on my way home after work. And what we are going to be talking about, today's topic is what will happen to America if Joe Biden wins re-election. I'm going to say that again. What will happen to America if Joe Biden wins re-election? Now, in reality, that's kind of a trick title there, because there is a contingency, is contingent upon the body of Christ, the church, and is contingent on Donald Trump. And I'm going to get into some specifics about what that means in a second. So in reality, it's not just what will happen to America should Joe Biden win the re-elections. It is also what will happen to America should God allow for Joe Biden to win re-election. There's a big difference. A lot of people forget. They've gotten so focused and so tuned in, it's like tunnel vision, on all the politic discussions about what's going on and about the upcoming elections. I've tuned in to a lot of the radio stations out here, both North and South Carolina. I've listened to all kinds of different conservatives, Christians, a lot of talk radio, and there's one consistent theme, and this is very important that I stress this. What I have heard, or I should say what I have not heard consistently in all the radio broadcast channels, all the people out there, all the YouTubers, everything, all these people, the media, everybody, the one major consistent theme that nobody is talking about is God's influence on this election, this upcoming election. I have not heard a single caller call in and even reference God. I have not heard a single caller call in and reference repentance or talked about why the elections, the 2020 elections, went the way that they did. I've yet to hear a single person on any of these broadcast channels or anything talk about God and his influence. And this is really important. Cannot forget this. A lot of people say, well, God is completely sovereign no matter who wins. That is true, but I completely just dislike that saying. I do not like that saying, because it basically says, well, everything happened the way that it did and God didn't really have anything to do with it, but he's still sovereign. I think that's a very ignorant statement to make, especially for Christians. Because we know that the Bible tells us that God raises up kings and he disposes of kings. God raises up nations and he raises up nations and he brings nations down. He removes them. It is God who draws the boundary lines. God who sets the limits. So, in other words, we're going to talk about 2020 for just a second, and then we're going to jump right into 2024. So a lot of people, many people, many Christians, many churches still have not grasped why God allowed for the 2020 elections to occur in the way that they did. And it's very important that we understand this, because if we do not get it, then we can see a repeat of 2020 happening all over again. And this is why I say that this is contingent upon the body of Christ, it's contingent upon the church, and it's contingent upon Donald Trump. It goes hand in hand together. Those of you who are brand new to our channel, welcome. Thank you for tuning in. We've been talking about the past several videos about things that have happened with the body of Christ, with President Trump, with Israel, and why things have kind of happened. And we have been talking about what I have personally coined the Northeast Coast prophecies. So everything is contingent upon our response. You know, everybody likes to quote the scripture. It was really big in 2020. We were off to a great start. I mean, not 2020, I'm sorry, 2016. We were off to a great start in 2016. We went to all these Christian concerts, these massive prayer rallies, everybody quoting the verse, you know, if my people will humble themselves and seek my face, but they always forget about the one major main point of that verse, right? What is the main crucial point of that verse? It's not enough to humble ourselves. It is not enough to turn our faces to God. We also have to repent, which means to turn away from sin, turn away from evil, turn away from doing anything that goes against the Word of God, against the Bible, and turn back to the Lord. That is the definition right there. Repentance. Turn back to the Lord. Turn away from evil, no matter how big or how little that evil may seem. And what we're specifically dealing with is not the liberals. I'm not talking about the liberal ideologies or the liberal idolatries, should we say, of abortion, of the LGBTQ, of the wokeism, because God is a just God. He will deal with that completely on a separate case. The Lord Jesus holds the church to a much higher standard of accountability than he does the rest of the world, because we know better. We know better. We know the way. We should walk in the way as we are called to walk in it. And so that is why Peter, you know, he tells us, that's why the Word of God tells us that it would be much, it's going to be far worse when judgment comes. When it's all said and done, that judgment will be much worse for those who once knew the way and then forsaken it, turned their backs on it, walked away from it, than for those who were already from the world. He used the example of the angels, the fallen angels. Think of that. So, it is absolutely crucial. Right now, the Lord God is dealing with some critical aspects dealing with the church. This goes back to 2020. Goes back to 2020. So before we get into 2024, the very short version, because it's kind of a long explanation, but if I can just shorten it up for you guys, it's really simple. Just everything is always black and white with God. It's very simple, very straightforward. There's no confusion about it. We know that God is not the author of confusion, but he is a peace. So there's no question of a doubt about it. Make it very simple for you guys. 2020 goes all the way back to the land of Israel. We started off on the right path when we acknowledge God and the Jewish sovereignty over Jerusalem, recognizing Jerusalem as the Jewish capital of Israel. Off to a great start. But, however, in 2020, we put forward a two-state solution plan that would have divided Jerusalem. And I say again, we, the nation, the United States, we put forward a two-state solution through President Donald Trump, who led this, who's the main architect, his son Jared Kushner, along with 70 of the nation's top evangelists, put their stamp of approval to divide Jerusalem, divide Judea, to give 70% of Judea, what they call the West Bank, and give it to the Palestinians for statehood, along with Gaza. Now, we know that that is 100% against the Word of God. 100%, you do not divide the land, you don't touch the land, you don't come against the land in any way, shape, or form. Just thinking about it will bring judgment upon you because of the covenant that God made with Abraham, passed down through the 12 tribes, through Moses, and then all the way down through Jesus, who affirmed the law, and then to the church. We're all included in this. So yes, 70 of the nation's top evangelists came together, and we approved, put the stamp of approval to divide Jerusalem. We divided after we said it belonged to the Jewish people. And nobody said that there was anything wrong with it. In fact, you go back and research it. Almost every single top evangelist has something to say about it. None of them spoke against it. Not one. Now, there's a handful of people that did, including our ministry, who spoke against it. So, what happened? So, naturally, long story short, all the four signs of judgment, all the four signs of judgment unleashed upon the world, and even more specifically on New York City and the United States. What am I talking about? It's the four signs of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Now, the exact signs happen in reverse order. So that's how we know, without a doubt, that yes, we don't, not just the United States, the whole world entered a period of judgment, because we know that in the end times, it's not just one or two nations. All the nations come into this peace deal with Antichrist to divide up the land. That's the 7-year peace treaty, or at least 3.5 years into it when he breaks it. So we are dealing with the land of Israel. That is why everything happened the way that it did in 2020. We were on track to win those elections, and we would have won it had we not divided the land. We had all these signs to warn us, don't do it. What am I talking about? 2014, 2015, we had the four red blood moons that fell on the Jewish holiday feast, the Jewish feast. Four, dealing with the entire world. And then it occurred for 2 years in a row. That number two represents the visions, the divide. So therefore the warnings, you know, it told us, do not divide the land of Israel, or a plague will happen and it will last for 2 years. Number two, the number of division. So we had those signs. And then August 2017, we had the Great American Solar Eclipse. We had that sign. The very next month after that, September 23rd, 2017, we had the Revelation 12 sign. So God gave us all of the warnings. They were pretty straightforward, very straightforward. There's no mystery about it. Don't divide the land. Don't even think about it. Don't even attempt to do it. Anytime it has happened, calamity has happened, war has happened, bad things have happened, famines. And George Bush, right before 9/11 happened, just a couple of days before 9/11, George Bush was in meetings with Saudi Arabia, and they were about to announce a two-state solution over Israel. What happened? Well, 9/11 happened to put a stop to it. The Lord allowed the nation to be attacked. 21 years later, from 9/11, where do we arrive to? 2021. Doesn't take, you know, it's pretty straightforward to me. Now, I'm trying to think. I was just about to say something. I got sidetracked there. Okay, so now Israel, right? Look what happened to Israel. Look what happened to Benjamin Netanyahu. They were in massive talks, peace talks with Saudi Arabia, and they were about to include massive language that would have involved, at least in part, a two-state solution, or setting the groundwork for a two-state solution for the Palestinians. What happened? October 7th happened. The Lord allowed for the Palestinians, for Hamas, to attack Israel. Effectively put a stop to the two-state solution. Now, I can say for 100% certainty, I can say it, that Benjamin Netanyahu has officially learned his lesson. He has completely rejected every single, any kind of language talk, whatever, having to deal with the two-state solution, just flat out rejected it. Former Israeli ambassador David Friedman, that was who was under President Trump, has learned his lesson, came out and acknowledged how wrong it was for the two-state solution. We should not have even thought of it, and has reversed course and is now acknowledging a new plan that involves recognizing all Israel sovereignty. All Israel Jewish sovereignty. So, at least these guys have learned their lesson. So, the Lord God allowed, if you think, you kind of look back, right? President Trump wasn't the only one who, quote unquote, lost the elections. Benjamin Netanyahu also lost. God removed both of them out of power. Is that a coincidence? Absolutely not. Again, God is straightforward. There's no mistakes about it. He means what he means. He says what he says. He will do what he will do. And this is great news. It's great news because all we have to do is recognize the evil, turn away from it, stop trying to divide the land. It will not happen until the appointed time. And what I mean the appointed time is that 7-year tribulation period. It will not happen until the appointed time comes. And people say, oh, this is the enemy doing, blah, 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 blah. You know, I mean, it could partially be. But in reality, it's just mankind, our pride. Our pride leading us to think that we can do all these things without consequences. And I'm talking specifically about the churches. Again, 70 of our nation's leaders were involved in that. So they had a big, massive, well, I'll get to that in just a minute. So the Lord God gave us, he has given us 4 years to repent, to turn away from it, to give us 4 years. All these things that happened that targeted the Christians, that targeted the churches, none of that would not have happened if the Lord God did not allow it to happen. And why do you think the Lord allowed for these things to happen? Oh, it's just the liberals being liberals. It's just the Democrats trying to control things and seize more power from themselves. Listen, if you're saying that, then you're acknowledging that God is not sovereign. That God does not have true sovereignty and authority over everything. Now, I'm telling you right now, God can fix this in a matter of a blink of an eye. And he can, without a doubt. He can turn everything back into our favor. Not that he isn't willing, but should we repent? We turn away from it. So we've had 4 years, and what the Lord God is doing is, just like the Bible tells us, carefully watching over his word, carefully watching to see if his people will repent, because God is not just a merciful, you know, he gives us the chance. He's not just going to bring judgment and not give us the time to repent, to turn away from the sin and not reveal the sin and all that stuff. God has given us signs, warnings, and warnings, and warnings, and warnings. We've had ample time. We've had 4 years. So, when I say what will happen to America should Joe Biden win, quote unquote, win re-election in 2024 elections, it is contingent, meaning if God allows it to happen, right, we can win it. The choice is completely ours. We can get out there. We can fully vote just like we did in 2020. But if we do not repent, we don't turn away from it, then what do you think God is going to do? You think God is going to give us the victory that we want? No, he isn't. Because this thing with Israel is not a little thing. Israel did not spend 2,000 years in the dang wilderness. They didn't go through 2 world wars and a Holocaust. They didn't go through all of that for nothing. The Lord God did not bring all that calamity upon his people just to bring them back to their homeland, only to scatter them again. Joel chapter 3, I've said it a lot of times. If you don't know it, go back and read it. Joel chapter 3, 1 and 2. The Bible warns that judgment comes against the nations because they have divided up his land and scattered his people. So, this is not some little thing. This is a big deal. When we went against the land, we attempted to divide it. We didn't only just sin against the word of God. We sinned against the Heavenly Father. We sinned against that covenant. We sinned and went against that land, against God's inheritance. That's the word it uses. Look it up. His inheritance. How do you think he felt? How do you think the Lord God felt when he saw his church all across the world, specifically here in the United States, when the Lord God saw his people, his church, rise up and try to divide his inheritance? How would you feel? It's like Judas all over again. So, this is 100% contingent upon our repentance. So, what are the requirements for repentance? Before I get into all the stuff that's going to happen, what is required for repentance? Number one, to acknowledge the sin. Bring the sin into light, to acknowledge it, to speak it, to confess it. Number two is to turn away from it, to stop doing it. So after this, we're not just dealing with remorse, okay? This is any area of your life, any area where sin is present in your life. You have to confess the sin. You have to confess the hidden sins. That's why the Holy Spirit is necessary. That's why the Word of God is 100% necessary. We read the Word of God because it's a double-edged sword. It penetrates our spirit and our soul, and it exposes the areas of those hidden sins that need to come out so that we can confess it, and then we can stop sinning, turn away from it. So, again, the requirements for repentance is one, to acknowledge the sin, and number two is to repent, turn away from it. So what is needed is, I had a dream a while back. I talked about this. The Lord God revealed that $350 million settlement or lawsuit, whatever you call it, fraud charge, you know, that terrible thing that was allowed to happen against President Trump, was allowed to happen to bring humility, to humble the president. That's what everything has been about. I want you to, it's perspective. Everything's always perspective. Okay? All this court stuff that's happening against President Trump, this and that, this is not just the liberals doing. God has allowed the enemy to do this. He's allowed it. And the purpose is to bring humility to the president so that he will confess and repent. Confess up to the sin of nearly dividing up the land and repent from it. All of the iniquities happening against, all the persecution against the church, is meant to serve to humble the church so that we will repent, so that we'll confess and repent, turn away from the sin. So there was I've talked about this, so I'm not going to go into detail, but there was a big convention. All of the Christian broadcasters, evangelists, all that, came together in Nashville, Tennessee, back late February, I think 26th. And President Trump was there, and it was a big convention about the church's support, broadcaster support for Israel. The former Israeli ambassador, David Friedman, was the keynote speaker. So everything was right. I saw all the signs of repentance. David Friedman got up there, repented, confessed, put forward the correct biblical plan. It's published on, you can go back and look on these websites. It's public detail. So all it was needed was for President Trump to come forward and do the same thing. President Trump talked about all the good things that he did, talked about all the persecution that's happening against him, talked about the Abraham Accords, talked about the embassy in Jerusalem, talked about the Golan Heights. Not one time did he ever acknowledge trying to divide up the land of Israel. And number two, did he even hint at acknowledging David Friedman's idea of acknowledging sovereignty over all of Israel? That's the requirements for repentance. Didn't happen. So, should repentance not come? Should Donald Trump not repent for what happened against Israel? Should the church not repent for what happened? For our 70 of our evangelical leaders coming together to divide up the land. Should we not acknowledge the wrongdoings and the evil that happened? Joe Biden will win the elections or the re-elections. Now, there's a couple of contingencies in that itself. So I'm going to talk about what's going to happen. Now, what I'm going to reveal is a series of visions, a series of dreams and revelations that have been given to me over the last 4 years. The last 4 years, beginning back in September of 2020, right before the elections. So everything I'm going to reveal it in chronological order. I'm going to reveal it in specific order and in detail, and what will happen and why it will happen should repentance not come and Joe Biden is given a second term. So in reality, what I'm saying is, if we do not repent, God will allow for Biden to have a second term, which will ultimately end up with Kamala Harris. It's very bad. I'm going to explain it here in a minute. Now, originally, I thought Kamala Harris would become president by now, but it can still happen. So, I have been talking about a 40-day fast, a call to repentance because of the eclipse. April 8th, 2024, we know that solar eclipse is going to happen. The very next day is Nisan 1, which is the first month of the Hebrew calendar. It's like, it's the official Jewish New Year, not Rosh Hashanah. It's where the calendar starts over. So from Nisan 1 all the way through until Pentecost Sunday, where the church celebrates Pentecost, not the Jewish Pentecost, but when the church celebrates Pentecost, because remember, the warning of repentance is to the church. The Jews in Israel have already repented from this. Benjamin Netanyahu has already repented from it. This is dealing specifically with the church. So we have 40 days. If you go back and you look, the eclipse path, there's seven cities that the path of totality will cross over, named Nineveh. So this, Nineveh was a Gentile city. It was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. Now, Nineveh believed the message. They repented. So God allowed them for another additional years of peace. Now, Nineveh in Assyria was ultimately decreed to be destroyed, to be overthrown. God just allowed to give them a little more time, gave them extra time and a little bit of grace period. So that is what we are in right now for the United States. It is very critical. So if we repent, God will give us an additional period of grace. We'll have about another 4, maybe 8 years of grace. It is contingent upon our response. If we heed the warnings, we repent, we turn away, then I believe God will allow for the president to win the re-election, and we'll have an extended period of grace. Should we not heed that warning? For 40 days as a call to fast, a call to prayer, a call to repent for 40 days until Pentecost Sunday. Should that not happen? It is possible. It is possible that Kamala Harris, one way or another, something will happen. Kamala Harris will become could become president before June. By June of this year, before the elections. It's also possible that nothing happens with Kamala Harris until, but I can guarantee you, if we do not repent, we got 40 days, that's what the Lord is giving us. If we do not repent or turn away from it, should nothing happen, Biden stayed in office, I can guarantee you it's not going to take long after the 2024 elections. It will not be long at all until Biden steps down or something happens and Kamala is made president. Now, the point is, here is the main point, what will happen. All this points, the first biggest sign was that should Biden win the elections, eventually, some way or another, one form or another, Kamala Harris will become president. Now, how do I know this? September 26, 2020. Go back to our website and look it up. It's called, it's about the Kamala Harris prophecy, the Lilith, the destroyer is coming. So I was warned in a vision or in a dream, September 26, 2020, and a vision. And the Lord's angels came and said, prepare the way, Lilith, the destroyer is coming. Now I could spend an entire hour discussing Lilith. The short version of who Lilith is, she is Ishtar. She is also Ishtar. She is also the one who possessed Jezebel. She's the one who led Israel into idolatry with the false worship of Baal and with the whole rising of Elijah. It is Lilith. Lilith is a fallen demonic principality. She's right up there alongside Lucifer and Belial. They are like this unholy trinity up there. So, Lilith has been out in the open for a while now, for at least a couple years. She's been right next to Kamala Harris. Everywhere Kamala Harris goes, Lilith is right there behind her. And just waiting. Just waiting to take the reins. So, as soon as Kamala Harris is sworn into the presidency, right? We're dealing with, should Biden win the elections, okay? This is like if things go wrong. Should Kamala Harris, or when once Kamala Harris is appointed to the presidency, that is when there will be some sort of demonic possession that will take place, and Lilith will manifest and become become one with Kamala Harris. Now, you guys think of possession and you think of all these horror movies and The Exorcist and all that stuff. That's not the case. That's not how it happens when you're dealing with demonic principalities. Principalities are over nations. They're over major states and cities, major areas of power. We talk about that with the Prince of Persia, you know, with Daniel. So Lilith is a principality. She'll take over Kamala Harris once Kamala Harris gets into the presidency. And when you see Kamala Harris as the president of the United States, you know destruction and disaster is coming for the United States. Now, it's not going to happen immediately, but it will happen. There will be a series of events, a series of sequences that will unfold like a domino effect. So right after Kamala Harris becomes president, the immediate aftermath, the very next thing that will happen is the financial market, the economy will collapse. It will negatively respond to the Kamala Harris presidency. It will be a massive, horrific drop that will happen. Once the economy, well, I'm talking about the stock market, something will happen. There will be things that will be triggered. Once the stock market starts collapsing, the very second thing that will happen will be the U.S. dollar will plunge. The U.S. dollar will begin to plunge alongside with the economy, because over the last 4 years, Russia and all the BRICS alliances and China have been strategically removing the dollar from their currencies and their reserves, and have been replacing it with other currencies and gold. These countries have been making billions of transactions, storing up gold. They are getting into position and getting ready. So as soon as the dollar plummets, and it'll plummet, because there is nothing backing the U.S. dollar. Nothing. The only thing that was backing the dollar was the petrodollar system. That's when, back in the 70s, Richard Nixon, you know, and we made the deal with Saudi Arabia, the Middle East. We made these deals that all the oil that is traded had to be traded for U.S. dollars. And in exchange, we would provide military support and funding. So what's happening right now? Go back, do a Google search, do a Yahoo search, wherever you want to, and look up. The BRICS alliance has just added another 7 countries. Saudi Arabia has not officially given the yes yet. But should they give the yes, I guarantee you all of those petrodollar deals that we made is going to be undone and just canceled out. Now, you can go back to our website on tribalchristians.com. I have got specific visions, dreams that I had. The Lord showed me what would happen. He showed me that when the dollar plummets, the dollar will plummet and collapse because of all of the all of the petrodollar deals will become undone, will be undone, and because of the BRICS alliances that are set up in gold. So Kamala Harris becomes president, the economy crashes, and then the dollar begins to collapse, and then there's massive financial instability on the western side of the nations. Once that happens, Russia, China, all the BRICS and OPEC nations will rise into their currencies, their economies, the markets over there will rise, and it will be in a stable position. And then oil, I guarantee you, the oil markets will have a massive, massive panic because of it, because the US dollar is tied to the oil. Once they've seized control of the markets, Russia will win the Ukraine war, right? Because once our economy collapses and the dollar collapses, the United States will not have the funds to be able to support Ukraine militarily or financially. And not just the United States, all of the Western allies, their currencies will crash too. They will not be able to support Ukraine. Once we are unable to financially or militarily support Ukraine, then Ukraine, all of Ukraine, not just the eastern half of Ukraine, all of Ukraine is going to fall. All of it, the entire nation will fall to Russia, and Russia will seize control over the entire Ukraine. This will put Russia and Iran and China and strategic global power, the entire European power, will shift, major shift, and it will shift into the hands of Russia and China, along with Iran and the BRICS nations. Once this has happened, China will then make their move, and they will attack the United States. The United States, or China, will launch a series of cyber attacks against the United States. It'll start with cyber attacks. They're going to launch a massive bombardment of cyber attacks against all of our key communications networks. You guys remember the AT&T outage that just happened? Pull up a map. Look at all the outage spots that were hit. It wasn't just AT&T. DirecTV, all these satellite communications companies, internet, Facebook, all that stuff was shut down. Massively shut down. And it all happened in major key communications areas. Houston, Texas, and out there in Florida. Florida and Texas were hit the hardest. You had California, Texas, Florida, they were hit the hardest, and then you had New York that was hit as well, and DC. Now, what's out of Houston, Texas? What's out of Florida that's so critical to communication? NASA. NASA is out of Florida, NASA is out of Texas. They have massive communications with the satellites. Now, so China will knock out our communication systems through several cyber warfare tactics. They will confuse all of and overwhelm our communication network, shut it down. That's the exact same thing that happened to Israel on October 7th. This is why Israel had no idea it was under attack, because they were hit massively with all of these cyber attacks, and not just the cyber attacks. Hamas and the Palestinians came in and knocked out key communication infrastructure satellites, knocking out their satellites and their radar capabilities. So they had no idea that they were being attacked. That's why it was so horrific what happened to Israel. No communication. That's what will happen to us. That's what China will do. They'll knock out our communications. After they target our communications, they're going to target cyber warfare against our key energy infrastructure. That will come next. They're going to target, remember the, the major pipeline that was shut down due to the cyber attack that happened. Shut down fuel stations all along the East Coast for a week. And then what did we do? What did we do? You know, what did Joe Biden do? He gave our adversaries, our enemies, a list, a complete list of all of our key infrastructure, energy components not to target. Gave them the list, gave them all the company's information and said, here you go. So they know what to attack, what to target, where it's at, and not to mention the Chinese spy balloons that flew over the nation. They're going to shut down all of our energy. So they're going to target communications, they're going to target fuel, they're going to target energy and electricity. So we cannot communicate and we cannot mobilize. No communication, no fuel, no electricity, no energy. We cannot mobilize and we cannot get organized. So it's going to be a really bad day. This will probably happen for about a week. And they're going to keep doing it. They're not going to let up. It's going to be really bad. After all the massive warfare tactics, then China is going to then launch its invasion into Taiwan. They're going to set up a stockade and block off and isolate Taiwan from the rest of the world from receiving help. Taiwan will run out of ammunition. They won't have any help because, remember, the United States and the Western allies has run out of money. And then, as if that's not enough, China will launch its missile capabilities against our key infrastructures on our northeastern side of the nation. They're going to hit New York City. They're going to launch massive attacks against New York City, along with the terrorist threats that are already here in the nation, all these sleeper cells. It's going to be a coordinated attack. They will attack New York City. They will, New York City, they're going to hit Washington, D.C. They're going to hit Boston, Baltimore, all these key areas that deal with infrastructure, that deal with the economy, and deal with our leadership. Now, there is not going to be a ground invasion from these nations. All they want to do is completely disable the U.S. so we can't respond. And China has seized Taiwan, they've successfully launched the attacks against the United States. That is going to be it. The United States will fall. It will no longer be a superpower like we are today. It'll fall. Now, we will exist. We're going to go on, but this is going to be World War III. This is the moment when we fall as a nation. And then it's going to take a lot. It's going to send a lot of panic into the nation. It's going to be chaos. They're going to have to declare martial law in major cities across the United States to keep control. It's going to be a really bad day. So World War III is what is the transition that leads us into the Gog and Magog War when they come against Israel. Now, now that I've kind of mentioned the main big things that are going to happen, before we are attacked, there are some events that are going to happen with Kamala Harris that I have seen with her presidency, some key laws and things that she's going to do before the attacks happen. There's going to be a little bit of a time period. Massive persecution will hit and it will come against the churches all across the nation. And it's going to be bad. Churches are going to get shut down. And as if that's not enough, there's going to be massive reforms having to deal with the public school system. They're going to target all the Christian, the Christian athlete groups that meet together. They're going to target all the Christian athlete clubs in the schools. And remember how they've been talking about how Biden has weaponized the FBI against the school against parents? Well, it's going to be 10 times worse. It's going to be worse. When Kamala Harris is president, they will successfully weaponize the Justice Department and the FBI to go against parents and anybody who is against the LGBT. Anyone who is against the LGBT, whoever is against liberalism, it's going to be bad. So they will put you in, they're going to put people in jail. They're going to put them in jail. They're going to charge them and put them in jail. Anyone who supported Trump, it's going to be 10 times worse than January 6th. So they will come into the schools. They're going to arrest the kids. They're going to charge them. They're going to charge the parents. They're going to do massive progressive changes in these schools. if you think these bathroom policies, you know, kind of went away, well, it's going to come back. It's going to be 10 times worse. The second thing Kamala Harris is going, that I saw coming out of her administration was there's going to be massive judicial reform. I saw massive judicial reform happening against the prison systems, against law enforcement, and the prisons, the law enforcement, the jails, whatnot. They're going to give prisoners the right to vote. They're going to change it. They're going to give a lot more rights to people who are convicted murder, to child rapists, all these people who are doing these life sentences. They're going to give them the right to vote. They're going to change it. And then they're going to give all these, they're going to start letting a lot of people free. A lot of these people are going to be set free. So I saw, again, Kamala Harris's presidency will be marked by a weaponization against our conservative schools and against parents, against churches. And then I saw major reforms happening in the judicial systems, in the prison systems, in the jails, and all that stuff. Everything changes with all of that. It's going to, and then not to mention the IRS will start targeting the churches, is going to start shutting them down. This is going to have to do with the First Amendment rights. This is going to have to deal with the Johnson Amendment with the 501c3. They're going to start ripping away all the 501c3s away from these churches and defund all the churches. The churches are going to be completely, have no money. They're going to seize their property, start seizing property from the churches. It's just going to be the most horrific things that we've never seen in this nation. So if I have not given you enough reasons to repent, I don't know how many more reasons that you guys need. We've had sign after sign after sign. We've had warning after warning after warning. Now, this is not to tell you guys not to get out there and vote. I'm just saying that the key, most important thing is not just about voting, but it's about putting God first. It's not one person that's going to save this nation. What God is the only one who can save this nation. And what's going to save this nation is if the body of Christ will come together and they will repent for dividing the land. And if President Trump will repent for dividing the land. I'm telling you, if you had 100,000 people, if you had 10,000 people, you start getting a hold of President Trump and you tell him over and over and over and over. I guarantee you, right? Hopefully he'll listen. So, you know, a lot of people, I mean, take it with a grain of salt. Do with this what you will. Some people are going to brush this off. You're not going to believe any of this. You're not going to believe it. You're just going to keep going. Unfortunately, that's kind of what I'm seeing, what's happening right now. People are just ignoring it. And they think they're completely excluding God from the picture. So everything is 100% in God's hands. God is completely sovereign. If we do not repent, things are not going to go well. And it will. I put my life on the line with this. Now, our nation will cease to exist as we know it, at least the way that we know it. It will no longer be as prosperous, as great as it once was. We will cease to exist as a world-leading superpower, as the global leader, whatever you want to call it. You know, now I got one last thing in how I want, what I want to conclude, what I want to end with you guys. One last thought here. Should things not go the way, should repentance not happen, things don't go well, and all this stuff starts happening, our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is always in Jesus. The body of Christ, the true remnant church, our hope, our salvation is in the promises in Jesus. Now, just because these things are going to happen does not mean that God has removed his hand from the body of Christ or certain. What will happen is that the anointing will shift. That anointing will go to that remnant of people who have not forsaken the Lord. That remnant of people who have not bowed their head and worshiped any idols and have remained diligent and obedient to the Lord. These are, you're not going to find your mega church pastors leading this anointing. It's not going to come from them. This anointing will shift and it will fall on the people that most people have no idea even exist. It'll go to them. And then it'll be through them. Because remember, the entire message ultimately is about Jesus. It's about salvation. It's about repentance. It's about humility. It's about the gospel message. So if we have not repented and all this stuff happens, we should, it should serve as to humble us. And if we still have not repented, the end is coming. There's no doubt about it. We are in that transition. The end of the church age. It's coming. So we're not without hope. And we're not without the possibility of revivals happening in certain areas around the nation. There will be some of us who will be gifted and anointed and called and will rise up. And this is why I always tell you people, this is why I always tell you guys, including myself, do not give up. Don't give up. Keep going. I want you to think about Jeremiah. Think about Daniel. Think about them. They were in exile. They lost their country. They witnessed it. They lost their nation. And then not only did they lose it, they saw the most horrific things happen to their people. Their women were raped and brutally beaten and raped and killed. Their children were killed. They were starved to death. They witnessed their own people killing their own children and eating their own children. This is in the Bible. So think about Daniel. Think about Jeremiah. Think about the minor prophets, Nehemiah, Ezra. Think about them who lived in exile. And they stayed true to the Lord. It doesn't matter if we have a nation or not. Because ultimately, we're not, like the Bible says, we're just aliens here. This is temporary. It's about eternal kingdom things. We know that one way or another, that eventually we have to get from A to B. B is the end times. B is the Antichrist, the seven-year tribulation. And ultimately, B is the return of Jesus. So we got to get there some way or another. And so we're moving very quickly and things are deteriorating rapidly. So should repentance not happen? I want you to think of it this way. Sometimes God will harden the heart of others so that repentance does not happen, so that the greater good can happen, the greater outcome can happen, and that so that justice can be administered when it really needs to be administered. Think about Pharaoh. Think about Egypt. God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh could have repented at any time and let his people go. You know, he still had free choice, but the Bible says that God hardened his heart. There's been other numerous examples in the Bible, the kings of Israel, certain ones, their hearts were hardened so that repentance did not happen. And God brought judgment anyways. So if repentance does not come, Biden wins, you see Kamala Harris, don't become afraid and don't think that we failed. It's not always that we have failed. It's just simply the fact that, hey, the time was up. And, you know, look at it as God administering justice. And then God bringing salvation. We're ultimately that much closer to the return of Jesus. And I do believe one way or another, the miracles will come back. The miracles will come back. The revival will happen in certain areas. It's not going to be widespread, but it will come. And then just like the book of Joel warns us, you know, or tells us, all the prophetic gifts will be increased even greater than before. will have visions and dreams even greater than before. And they're not going to be lies or false prophecies or none of that nonsense. When everyone came out and said that Trump was going to re-win in 2020, no one had any idea. It's going to be the truth. It's going to be the absolute truth. When we get to the point where we don't need buildings to worship the Lord, when we don't need prosperity to worship the Lord, that's when the gifts will come. That's when the Spirit of the Lord will fall on us and we'll have revival. When we finally say we do not need these luxury million-dollar buildings to come worship the Lord, when we've turned away from all this stuff and we worship the Lord in obedience and in truth, we can get together anywhere and worship the Lord. We can preach His word, you know, anywhere. We don't need one glorious place to meet 1 week or 1 day out of the week. The Lord wants to see it happening every day. And so that's when it's going to happen, and that's when it's going to occur. So my question to you guys is this, right? We ultimately want repentance to happen. But the greater thing to happen would be seeing people come to Jesus, seeing a great movement of God among people coming to Jesus. Revival is not about a bunch of people getting together and singing nice songs and, you know, praying. That's not revival. The real signs of revival is obedience, repentance, turning away from sin. When people stop paying more attention to football and sports and pay more attention to God, when you start seeing churches treating their neighbors, spending more time on reaching their neighbors and taking care of their neighbors and their communities instead of their own million-dollar buildings, when you see that happening, that's how you know revival is happening. So it's not, you know, I know there's been a few things coming up in the news, all these people, hundreds and thousands of people coming together and praying, and you know, it looks good, that's great, but that's not the full picture. You'll know when revival comes because it'll accompany all the signs with it, and there will be signs, there will be repentance, all these great things will happen because the Spirit of the Lord will be in the midst among them. So guys, there is hope, there is encouragement, one way or another. We're going to praise God. We're going to live obediently. We're going to keep going no matter what happens. So, guys, that's going to conclude this message, today's talk. If that answers your question, what will happen to America if Joe Biden wins? Stay the course. Whatever you do, guys, keep going. Whatever you do, don't give up. So if you have any questions, comments, and concerns, you can always reach out to me. My email is Brandon@tribeofchristians.com, or you can comment below or send a message to our contact portal on our website. I take the time to read and respond to everybody when I get the chance. I've been really busy here lately, but I will ultimately respond to everybody and everything as soon as I, you know, when I have the time. So guys, that's going to conclude it. As always, keep fighting the good fight of faith. Keep running your race and just keep going. No matter what, don't be discouraged because Jesus is with us. As He said, He promised us that He will never leave us or forsake us. He will be with us all the way into the very end. He will be with us. So make a decision right now in your heart. Who are you going to follow? Make a decision and a choice right now in your heart that no matter what happens, you're willing to lay your life down for Jesus, no matter how much persecution comes our way, even if it means by death. They can have everything, but they cannot take our souls because they belong to Jesus. You have Jesus, you have everything. So don't be afraid. Don't fear anything. You know, the Bible tells us that perfect love casts out all fear. We don't have any reason to be afraid. We have all the more reason to be encouraged. So, as always, guys, keep on keeping on and never, ever give up.